everybody. Welcome. I want to just let you know, if you have a question, please raise your hand and we'll stop and address it as best we can. Don't be afraid to ask questions. This Bible study tonight is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Now, I always like to start Bible studies with trying to figure out who this person was that wrote this book. So Jeremiah was a priest from a small town of Anathoth in Judah. The prophet Jeremiah dictated prophecies to the Lord, to his secretary, Baruch. Now, Jeremiah, when he said he dictated prophecies, that means he just spoke them. Somebody else wrote them down. And that's who Baruch was. Baruch was this man that wrote down everything he said. Now, because of Jeremiah's lineage, he would have been raised a priest through no record of his priesthood, though no record of his priestly service exists. Instead, God chose this man of undeniable courage to speak to the people of Judah on the Lord's behalf, even though they would not listen. So I want to stop right there and just kind of think about something. How many of you have a phone in here today?
Everybody.
So what's the purpose of that phone?
To communicate.
To communicate, right? Now, is that the only thing it can do?
No.
Take pictures.
You can do daily devotionals from them, too.
Deliver daily devotionals, yes. Right?
Google.
To the Bible.
So who made your phone?
Motorola.
Apple, okay. So all of those are brands, and brands are things we know, right? You see a brand, you know exactly whose it belongs to. Well, that's the same with us. We have a brand because we were created by God, who said, "Let us create man in our own image." So that's something to think about. Keep that in mind as we go through this Bible study. Now, it said God chose this man of undeniable courage. So, did he volunteer? No. He was chosen, right? So, our Lord God created us, and he knows the plans that he has for us. So God one day told Jeremiah, "You're going to be a prophet for me. You're going to speak everything I say, go to whoever I tell you to go to." And Jeremiah said, "What? Me? How would you feel if God came and told you something like that?" So let's look a little more at Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was nearly 20 years old when he began to prophesy. 20 years old. My oldest son over there is 19. So just imagine at his age being able to prophesy. Now, what does it mean to prophesy? Anybody tell me?
To preach.
To preach and let us know what's going to happen. To preach. What? Who else says something?
To foretell what
the
word.
To foretell.
What the
That's what I wanted to hear. A prophet, as we know, is a chosen person to speak God's words. So not just able to tell and foresee the future. He can do whatever God tells him to, right? So there were many prophets in the Bible. Now, Jeremiah was actually one of the major prophets, as they call him. So Jeremiah, when he was 20 years old, began to prophesy, and he continued in that office for the rest of his adult life, some 40 years or more. Now, because his message held little weight with the people, Jeremiah's prophecies reveal a substantial amount of emotional depth, often sorrow over the plight of God's people or his own troubles. So let's stop and think about that for a second. If you have a young kid coming off the streets and he comes in here and he's trying to tell the word of God, how many of you would believe him? If he says, I'm a prophet of the Lord.
Like, who are you?
How many would you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can see what Jeremiah's troubles were.
Let us see your credentials.
Yeah. Exactly.
And he's speaking to people who are a lot older than he was.
Exactly. So imagine my son coming in, telling you he's a prophet from God.
Samuel was the Lord called.
His name is Elijah.
And his name is Elijah. He is a prophet. So young Jeremiah was often known as the weeping prophet. Because his heart hurt because whatever he told the people, they did not listen to him. But most of the prophets had that same problem, no matter how old they were. So, now, Jeremiah found himself addressing a nation hurtling headlong towards the judgment of God. So the Israelites may have feared the future as the powers or outside powers drew near. But rather than respond with humility and repentance, the people of Judah primarily lived as islands unto themselves, disregarding both the Lord's commandments and the increasing danger that resulted from their disobedience. So the prophecies of Jeremiah offer us a unique insight into the mind and heart of one of God's faithful servants. The book includes numerous personal statements of emotional engagement, painting Jeremiah not merely as a prophet brought on the scene to deliver God's message, but as a red-blooded human being who felt compassion for his people. He desired judgment for evildoers and was concerned about his own safety as well. Now, significantly, the book of Jeremiah also provides us the clearest glimpse of the new covenant God intended to make with his people once Christ came to earth. Now, this new covenant would be the means of restoration for God's people as he would put his law within them, writing it on the hearts of flesh rather than on the tablets of stone. Now, rather than fostering our relationship with God through a fixed location like a temple, he promised through Jeremiah that his people would know him directly. That's a knowledge that comes through the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And that was you can see Jeremiah 31, 30, verses 31 through 34, also Hebrews 8 through 6. So let's stop and think. What's a $100 bill worth? Depends where you're at, right? That's true. That is true. So, is it really worth $100?
No.
No? No? Not after taxes? So in one sense, you would be right, in one sense, wrong if you said it was worth $100. Now, the paper does not have an essential value of $100. Since 1933, when America went off the gold standard, there's not even $100 worth of gold to back it up. So a $100 bill is only worth $100 because the U.S. Treasury has placed that value on it. Now, according to the Mayo Clinic, the chemicals in the human body are valued at approximately $4.50. Can you believe that? We're worth less than $5. We can't even buy a good meal with that. So fortunately, in God's eyes, a person is worth more than the sum of the value of the elements in his or her body. So you're valuable because God, for some reason, values you. God's valuation of you began even before your conception.
That's right.
So how do you know you're valuable in God's eyes? Your intrinsic value is revealed by three truths. God has a purpose for you. God is with you to carry out his purpose. And God equips you to carry out his purpose. Now let's go back to our question. I asked, who has a phone in here? Now, as those phones are being prepared, they don't leave Apple, they don't leave Motorola until they've been tested and they've been approved that they work. So keep that in mind. Now, remember, what was true of Jeremiah is true for you and for everyone. So God has a purpose for every life. Jeremiah 1, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Now, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.
So brother, but that is true of everybody, not just Jeremiah.
That's correct.
Before we are born, God already knows us. So it's not something special of Jeremiah.
So you're absolutely right. And what I wanted to say is, each and every one of us, God knew us before we came out of the womb.
Amen.
God has a purpose for each and every one of us. Now, for Jeremiah, he had already appointed him to be a prophet. Already. Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, it's interesting about the statement, before I formed you.
Before.
Mm-hmm. So you're not even formed yet in the womb. Before.
So just, if you just think about that, think about that. Okay. The Lord knows all. His thinking is not like ours. So before I even formed you in the womb, I knew what I had planned for you.
The Lord has made materials that has taken men thousands of years to discover.
Yes.
And he already had in mind,
yes,
what they were going to do with it.
Exactly.
Can see that far ahead.
How many have we not discovered? We don't know.
We don't know.
Our minds can't even wrap around the concept of what God knows. Honestly, you think about the galaxies out there. How many galaxies actually exist? We don't know. Simply, we don't know. We don't have the ability to even measure. That's how vast the power of God is. So God had a purpose for Jeremiah. God selected him. He knew him before he was formed. It is one thing to brag about who you know. It's quite another to boast about who knows you.
Yeah.
Who do you know? Who have you met? Have you met anybody popular? Anybody famous? Has anybody in here met anybody famous?
Yeah, I used to be a bus girl at Hilton downtown.
Uh-huh.
I met Horace Tucker, Abdelmo Savanti, Mary Harris Hanos, what's his name,
Gonzalez, that's so do they all know who you are?
No.
So it's one thing to brag about who you know. It's another to boast, not just say, but to boast about who knows you.
But you know, even that statement is kind of deceiving, because I mean, people can say, I know you, but really, do you know them? I mean, You might know who they are, but you don't really know them. Everything about them.
God does.
Right. So if I created this microphone, would I know everything about it?
Yep.
So that's the idea of that statement. God knows everything about you.
Yes.
How many of you read the manual to your phone?
They have one?
Every phone that comes from Apple, Motorola, it has a manual that comes with it. How many have actually read the manual to that phone?
Nobody.
Do you know that the manufacturer wants that phone to work, and it has to work because their name's stamped on it? So it's important to them that it works. So not only did God select Jeremiah, he shaped him in his mother's womb. In the words of the psalmist, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. When God made Adam and Eve, he did so with his hands. Handmade items always have greater value. God wove you while you were in your mother's womb. That's each and every one of us. So you are a one-of-a-kind creation. Even if you're a twin, you're still a one-of-a-kind. Even if you're a twin. So now God also sanctified the prophet. I know we've heard that word sanctified. What does that mean?
Set apart.
Set apart.
Cleansed.
He set him apart. He set apart for a special purpose. God has special plans for you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and you will bring, bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I've banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. So that's pretty powerful. I like verse 13 where it says, you seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. All your heart. So God has chosen you to do things and say things that will impact all time and eternity. Now, you say, well, how? Me? He chose me to impact things by just what I say for all time and eternity? How is that? So God chose you. You are chosen. Now, he sanctioned Jeremiah to carry out that plan. He gave him authoritative permission and the approval to act. The sight and the rod of the almond tree in verse 11, that's what the word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? He said, I see a branch of an almond tree, I replied. That sight of a rod and almond tree was reminiscent of Aaron's budding rod. So it was, God gave him the authority, just like he gives each and every one of us the authority. So this was a confirmation of the authority of God that he had bestowed on Jeremiah. So God is with us to carry out his purpose. Jeremiah 1:6-8, alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord.
Yes.
So,
brother,
yes.
It is interesting to note that Moses used the same excuse when God told him to go to Egypt and to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. He said, I am not a good speaker.
Yes, he did.
Exactly what Jeremiah did.
Jeremiah did the same thing. Now, of course, Moses was a lot older at the time, but Jeremiah was only 20 years old. So you're telling me that now I got to go in front of this angry mob and speak on your behalf? You know, like, I don't know.
And Lord, the heavenly listening to you already. So
we already know they don't listen to the prophets. Nobody listens to a prophet.
Paint a bullseye on my back. Right?
But the Lord said, do not say I am too young. So All you young people here today, you're not too young to speak the word of the Lord. Even you elderly, you're not too young to speak the word of the Lord. So it goes both ways.
When you take in the latter cases, you are not too old.
You're not too old, or as some people say, young.
Brother Rudy, let him speak. Emily
preferred. Young at heart. Maybe I should say young at heart.
Calvin.
Yes.
Because some people may think that they're too young in the Lord.
Right.
In that sense of being young too.
True. Yeah. Like they're not matured as far as being a Christian. So I can definitely understand that. But when how old was Jesus when he said, I must be about my Father's business?
12.
12.
12 years old.
And how were they astonished that
they were
astonished, right?
Yes.
So it doesn't matter how old you are when you're doing the Lord's work, because he created you.
Amen.
He's already got that purpose set in you, just like your phone. It's got its purpose set for you already. The phone doesn't have a choice as to whether it will make phone calls or text or go on YouTube. The phone doesn't have a choice. It's already programmed into the phone. It's just doing the will of its creator. So just as long as we do the will of our creator, there is no reason, young or old, why we can't do the Lord's bidding. Says right here, he's going to be with us. And he, do not be afraid, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord.
And he did.
And he did. How many times he rescued Elijah? He rescued
Meshach
and Abednego. Yeah. Well, he rescued that. He rescued different lions then. He rescued Daniel. The Lord rescued his prophets. He took care of his prophets. Took care of him. So Jeremiah related to God his fear of rejection because of his youth. Now young Timothy had the same problem. So Paul instructed him not to let anyone despise his youth, but instead to be an example to believers in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. So Timothy was another young man with the heart for God. Now, Timothy, John Mark was another one that he was a young one as well. And John Mark, he came up against some opposition. He said, oh, okay, I'm out of here.
The first time.
Yeah.
But Paul and Barnabas was like, I don't know if we want to take him with us the next time, but they did. He got out of that. When you do the Lord's will, fear should not be there. The spirit of fear is not from God. So Jeremiah related his fear because of his youth, but Timothy had the same problem. Paul instructed him not to let anyone despise his youth, but instead be an example. So Jeremiah realized the facts. Notice the absolute words God used. Now God declared to him that he would go to everyone God sent him to, speak whatever God told him to speak, and not fear anybody. Those are the words God said, you do this. You got this.
He told him, I'll make your forehead like brass.
You got this. So why God told him he was not alone, God promised to be with him and to deliver him. So the rest of the book indicates that Jeremiah responded in faith. He went to everyone to whom God sent him. He spoke everything God said. As God indeed was with Jeremiah, he will be with you to carry out his purpose. Remember there was another prophet that he was told to go to Nineveh, the priests. He said, I'm not going over there. So you know what they do to people like that? No. So I am not going there. So God taught him a lesson, put him in the belly of a fish for 3 days and let him think about what he had done. Until he got back on track and he went and did what God told him. And he saved the people of Nineveh. So God equips us with what we need to carry out his purpose. Jeremiah 1:9-10. So then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Wow. So, imagine being touched by the hand of God. What can you do? What can you not do after being touched by the hand of God? So the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said, I put my words in your mouth. Now these words, remember, God's words will last forever. Yep. We're going to be long gone, but the words of God are going to last forever. And those words came out of Timothy's mouth because God touched it. So everyone needs a touch from God. Here we discover Jeremiah needed a touch. Now the New Testament is full of examples of people coming to Jesus for a touch. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing that matters. So, John 15:5. This is why we need to be equipped by God's touch. His touch enables us to empower us to carry out his ministry. Jeremiah was equipped with God's truth. According to Jesus, that God's word is truth, John 17:17. Just like Jeremiah, our mouths need to be filled with his words. God promises that when our mouth is his and his words are our words, when we speak, the words accomplish what he pleases and sends them to do. He pleases and sends them to do, Isaiah 55:11. So we will be successful when we are equipped by his touch and with his truth. So let me read that again, because I kind of got jumbled up there. So Jeremiah was equipped with God's truth. According to the Jesus, God's word is truth, right? John 17:17. Just like Jeremiah, our mouths need to be filled with his words. God promises that when our mouth is his and his words are our words, when we speak, the words accomplish what he pleases and sends them to do. So we will be successful when we're equipped by his touch and with his truth. So Jeremiah was equipped to do his task. Our lives are not about what we can do for God. Jesus came to do his Father's will, and at the end said, it is finished. Paul said that we had finished the race set for him. So your task is to discover God's will for your life and to do it. So to do God's task, you must, like Jeremiah, acknowledge your appointment. God had appointed an appointed plan for Jeremiah, and he has one for you as well. So you must act on his authority. Jeremiah was appointed over the nations. You have been commissioned by the Lord, who has all authority in heaven and on earth. So we all have a purpose here in this world. And when we discover it, we have nothing to fear, as long as it's the will of God. So God will equip you to do everything he wants you to do. If he wants you to run a good race, he's going to give you good legs to do it. So he will do, and he's going to be right there with you. Look at all the examples of prophets in the Bible. He didn't let his prophets just die. He didn't let his prophets be given over to of evil. God took care of his prophets. He did what he said he was going to do because he is the God of truth. And when we speak the truth and do truth, then he's with us and will guide us and give us everything we need to do what he wants us to do. Any questions? Yes.
I know God chooses us to be his.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, we're still responsible if we want to be his. Am I correct?
So we have a responsibility to obey. So just like I said, a phone doesn't have the opportunity to say, you know what, I'm not going to make phone calls. Because that's not what the manufacturer or the creator made it to do. So a phone has to work before it even leaves the warehouse. Otherwise, it's going to be sent back. So remember,
if you don't want to be sent back,
you don't want to be sent
work.
You don't want to be a defect.
Brother, you know, I think about it because I've heard of different situations. You know, the Lord puts in our heart that which he's called us to be, and we have a sense of and desire to do those things. And then there's parents who want their children to be something else, and they do that, and they're never happy, and they're never satisfied, and they're not complete because they're not doing what they're supposed to do.
And that happens so many times. When you're a kid, you have dreams of doing something, but your parents tell you, no, you need to do this.
Uh-huh.
And they're unhappy doing it the entire time.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was listening to a sermon by doctor, I can't think of his name, but he was talking about the exact same thing. And it was along the lines of purpose, your purpose with God. And he was the one that was talking about the phone, how that phone is created with an image, and it must work because that image that it was stamped on it is worth everything to that company. Because if it's a bad product, then nobody's going to buy it. So we've been stamped by God. We've been made in his image. Therefore, when we do the will of God, we're going to work because it's already been tested. Before I formed you, I knew you, is what God said. He already has a plan for each and every one of us. Now, we might not be doing what he had us plan for us. And if we are, then we should prosper. Doing it.
Exactly.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I have a friend who she had a better job offer from movies, but it's associated with movies. It's like a high school with a movies theme kind of a restaurant. And she told me that they have openings and she knew the situation at work. They're very stressful for business manager. And she came out and told me that they need cooks and bakers there. And I could be doing $12 an hour, Monday through Friday. And the ladies have to stay there, it's 3 o'clock. They need extra help come Friday because the football games are over. I have to stay even to 6 o'clock. They've been overtime. And I know the man, the manager. He's a very nice manager. And I was like debating about it. And so from Friday to Sunday, I debated about it and I came to the conclusion of, no, for some reason it's no. God wants me in movies. I don't know why, but I just had that piece. Okay.